Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Happy Easter! Christ is alive. Indeed. Well, welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we always are seeking to know God and to love God and to serve God. Whether you're with us online, and we know there are a lot of you, or in person, and there are a lot of you, we are delighted you're here. And if it happens to be your first time with us, we actually have a gift for you. So don't leave without stopping at our welcome desk, because it's got handmade items that tell you about us, but tell you also about how very loving our congregation is and how glad we are that you're here. Well, I'm Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor here. Our worship leaders today are Bob Hemphill and Bruce Stark. And we want to invite you to take those little cards that were inside of your bulletin. We call them connection cards. Take those and please fill them out so that we know you were here and so we can continue to be in connection with you, and turn them over because we change those all the time. Those are things that are currently going on that you can sign up for just by putting a mark next to it, and you will be signed up. If there are things going on in your life that you need some prayer, we are a praying congregation, and we will pray for you. So in the pew in front of you, there are prayer cards, and you can fill one out, and then when the offering plate goes by, you can put in your connection card, you can put in your prayer request, and we will respond. Now, I want to say a special Happy Easter to the kids. Hey, if you're a kid here, when I say Happy Easter, will you say Happy Easter back? You ready? Okay, this is just for the kids. No grown-ups, unless you're a kid at heart, then you can. All right, ready? All you kids, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. Yeah, you did a good job. We could hear you. Yeah. Now, kids, I want you to know you got a gift bag from us today, but there is Sunday school downstairs, and so if you want to, you can go down there and you can do crafts and have fun with the kids, but you're also welcome to stay here. Either way is okay with us. Today, our nursery workers were not able to be here. So if you have toddler-age kids, they're welcome to stay in here. If they want to play a little bit, there is a family room right there. You can see that glass window at the back. You can go in there and they can play, or they can come back in. Kids are welcome in this place in whatever form they come. All right. We do have a couple of announcements. First of all, this is an important one. It's a ways off, but you got to mark your calendar, because on Sunday, May the 8th, there's only going to be one worship service. We're going to combine all three of our worship services from both campuses, May the 18th, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock. So mark it on your calendar, or otherwise you'll be coming too early or too late or to the wrong campus. One of those could happen to you, May 18th. Next, we want to remind you there is an environmental justice presentation being put on by conference leaders. It's on April 28th at 7. And our wonderful theater camp that kids in second grade through ninth grade have loved, and we have so many kids from the community that want to come to. Registration's open for that online. Registration started on April 13th. And then Every year, children can enjoy summer's biggest party, VBS. It's for kids in third through fifth grade. Registration is open for that. Not third grade, 3 years old. That's a big difference. 3 years old through fifth grade. Sorry about that, but I'm glad Pastor Lindsay was there to help me get right. So registration's open for that, too, and we have a maximum number, and we only will take up to 100, so you got to sign up. All right. My goodness. Happy Easter again.
Please join me in the call to worship. The tomb is dark, but empty. The stone has been rolled away. The burial clothes are put aside. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Let us worship our risen Savior.
Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we join to celebrate your resurrection. We thank and praise you for your saving grace that is the hope for our world. As you have rolled the stone away from death and the grave, remove the barriers in our lives that keep us from living and growing in you. Help us to experience the peaceful joy of your mercy every day of our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading today is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 12. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of them to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Happy Easter. My name is Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves our congregation. And on this Easter morning, as we celebrate the resurrected living Christ, it is a joy to welcome you to worship, whether you are here in the sanctuary with us or if you are worshiping online. I warmly welcome you to this day of celebration and praise. God is good. Amen. Amen. Won't you join me in prayer? Oh, loving God, on this day of resurrection, we celebrate and we rejoice, for the grave could not hold you, and death could not keep you, and new life and light was bursting forth from that tomb that early Easter morning. And for that, Lord, we rejoice and we give you thanks. In our own lives, God, help us to live as resurrection people, to know and love and serve the resurrected Christ. Amen. Amen. Did you have a visit from the Easter Bunny this morning? Did the Easter Bunny come? Or do you think the Easter Bunny might come this afternoon? Perhaps the Easter Bunny comes to our house, our parsonage, in the afternoon most often. I don't think he's up and going in the morning. Afternoon. And last weekend here at our Brighton campus, it was all a buzz with, about 100 kids or so. They were collecting all sorts of colorful eggs scattered out upon the church lawn. Oh, it was a buzz of fun activity. And then equally excited children in the afternoon at our Whitmore Lake campus were delighted to pick up these excited, brightly colored eggs with candies and treats inside of them. You know, there's just something fun, no matter the age, about an Easter egg hunt that gets kids and adults all sorts of celebrated and surprises and excited. The candy, the hunting, the sweet treats. It is a fun joy, isn't it? Who likes an Easter egg hunt? Who loves a good Easter egg hunt? But I've often thought, I'll tell you something, I've often thought it's rather strange that an Easter bunny delivers eggs. Isn't that strange? Why isn't it the Easter chicken to bring us eggs? I think that seems strange. I suppose today is filled with rather strange, unusual, interesting things, isn't it? When we really begin to think about the scripture stories and we think theologically together. This is a strange day. It's a day when we gather as people of faith. I see some of you are in your best Easter outfits. You look great. And you gather and we worship together and we proclaim this bold thing. We proclaim that Jesus rose from the grave. We celebrate it. We say it. We say Christ has risen. He is risen indeed, and to quite a number of people, that sounds strange, doesn't it? It's a day when we remember that Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back to life. Typically, when people die, they stay dead. How odd, how mysterious. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came back to life, and he tossed aside those grave clothes, and he walked out of the tomb. Hence why we always say Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And it's almost as though this is just too much to try to take in, to try to logically understand, isn't it? I mean, how did that exactly happen? Between Jesus breathing his last breath and coming back to life, how did this all happen? Here's my prayer. Dear God, help us to ask good questions when we don't understand, and help us to dig deeper to try to learn more, and Lord, give us patience when we want answers much faster than when they're provided. God, help us to make sense of it all, and help us to cling to hope when we need it. Amen. And so here we are, remembering this story. We encounter this strange, unusual, interesting scripture story this morning like we do every year on Easter. And that first Easter morning, that first Sunday morning, when the sun was just coming up, this gospel, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, this version of the story tells us that two women went to go visit Jesus' grave, his tomb. Now, it was guarded by soldiers, and suddenly the women and these soldiers experienced an earthquake, and then they were greeted by an angel. Isn't this strange? Can we agree on this? It's strange. The women, Mary and Mary Magdalene, they were told not to be afraid because Jesus had risen, and they were to go and report this news to the disciples, and then in going and sharing this story, they encounter the living Christ right there in their midst. And again, they're told not to be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but I would instantly be quite afraid if I had a morning like these two women just experienced. They had anticipating to go and visit their friend at the grave to pay their respects, maybe to anoint his body, but instead they encountered an earthquake and a conversation with an angel, and then they saw for themselves that Jesus was alive. He wasn't dead anymore. He was living, and he was breathing, and he was walking right there before them. He was very much alive, and that has got to have seemed quite strange. Except when we read the gospel stories, if you've attended a vacation Bible school, if you've maybe been to church before, if you've heard some of the stories of the faith, or if this is your first time to hear at church, that is awesome. And if you've heard this story, there's more to learn. Because if we begin to study the scriptures, if we begin to learn about Jesus' birth story and hear about his ministry and learn about his life, then the story of Jesus being brought back to life maybe isn't going to seem so strange anymore after all. Because God seems to be continuing this pattern of doing unusual things and kind of catching us off guard and working in really creative ways and certainly keeping us on our toes and working through miracles and reminding us that there's hope in hard times, my friends. And God seems to be teaching us some type of lesson or two throughout it all. So what on earth might God be teaching us, reminding us of this morning through this strange experience of resurrection and new life? What's God saying to you? Just days before, just a handful of days before this Easter morning, Jesus had been tragically beaten and flogged and whipped and nailed to the cross and tortured and given a crown of thorns and died an unthinkable death. I mean, it was excruciating pain that Jesus must have experienced as he was mounted upon the cross in a heart-wrenching way. Did you know that death by crucifixion, it was a form of capital punishment during the time of the Roman Empire? And it was publicly humiliating and dehumanizing, and it was painful to watch, let alone experience it. It was the way that the Roman Empire ended the lives of criminals. It's how Jesus' life ended, although he certainly was not a criminal. I mean, what crime did he commit? But he was sentenced to death upon the cross. And so when Jesus has breathed his last breath and dies upon that day that we call Good Friday, there's this tragic ending. What crime had he committed? I mean, he'd spent his life serving others and preaching and teaching and witnessing to God and feeding the hungry and caring for the poor and the widow and the child and the orphan and the stranger. What crime had he committed? He'd modeled a life of peace. He'd witnessed and called for justice. He'd challenged those who'd clung to the law rather than prioritizing loving God and neighbor. And he'd spent a lifetime teaching about the kingdom of God. And he taught us the way of love and acceptance and grace and peace and mercy. And friends, where did that take him? Where did that lead him? Led him to the cross. Doesn't that seem a little strange? But then again, we get that sometimes, don't we? Because we get that when we're focused on living lives of love and mercy and justice and compassion and acceptance and grace, there's going to be some people, a handful of people, a few people every now and then that want to try to crucify us for that. Isn't that kind of strange? But friends, that doesn't mean we should stop loving. That doesn't mean we should stop working for justice. That doesn't mean we should put an end to our ways of mercy and compassion and grace, does it? Of course not. It just means that there'll be some hard times. So in the last days and these last moments of Jesus' life, they were hard moments. There was Judas who had betrayed him, and Peter who had denied him, and the disciples who couldn't stay awake for even a moment to pray for him, and the crowd that cheered for him to be crucified, and Pilate and Herod who washed their hands of it all, and the soldiers that mocked him and sold his clothing, and there was the prophets over his death. And in the last moments of Jesus' life, he knew pain, didn't he? And he knew suffering and being fully human and divine. He knew that pain and felt it. And his family knew that pain and they felt it, of what it was to be unjustly charged of a crime that he hadn't committed. And they begged the Roman Empire probably for his release. And Jesus knew that pain. It was a strange ending, a tragic ending. And it shouldn't have ended that way. But there's more to the story, isn't there? I think at the heart of humanity, we all hope that when something tragic happens, there's going to be more to the story, that there's going to be something good to come. And there is, church, right? There is something more good to come because Christ rose. Death wasn't going to keep him. The grave wasn't going to hold him. And he burst forth from that tomb and he brought life and light and love. Isn't that good news? I mean, it is true that he had this tragic ending, but there was more to come. Something good was to come, and it was beyond the wildest imagination of those disciples or of his mother or of his Mary Magdalene. It was beyond their wildest imagination that he could possibly come back to life. That unjust conviction, that brutal violence, the end of death wasn't going to hold him. That wasn't going to be the end of the story because God was still working, however strange it may seem. God is still working today. God works in strange circumstances. God works in trying times. God works in unconventional ways. The God of the universe who created you and calls you his beloved, who calls you your beautiful child, is still working today and is present in the suffering and the hardship and the pain. In these strange, hard, trying, unconventional times, God is still working, bringing about resurrection and hope and life because Christ has risen, amen? So if you're a book reader, and you enjoy a good novel, and if you feel like you've picked up a book recently and you're reading along and you don't like how things are going around, hang on. It's probably not the end of the story. God's writing a second and a third and a fourth ending to this because there's more to that story to come. There's resurrection, hope dawning. I found myself reflecting on an interesting idea this week. God raised Jesus from the dead. We know this. He was resurrected. God raised Jesus from the dead. But Jesus still had a choice to make whether he wanted to come out of the tomb or not. God raised Jesus from the dead, but then Jesus had a role to play too. Jesus was responsible for actually getting up and walking out of the tomb. Yes, God brought Jesus back to life, but Jesus could have remained in that tomb, and yet he had this choice to make. Was he going to stay inside, or was he going to go and walk out of that grave? Was he going to show and witness what had happened? Or is he going to remain in the tomb Or is he going to walk out and witness? Was he going to show the world that death wasn't the end, but in fact there was a second part of the story to come, and he was very much alive? I found myself considering that in the midst of resurrection, Jesus still had that choice to make. Was he going to walk out of the grave and witness to resurrection, or was he going to let the tomb of death continue to hold him, even though he had actually been resurrected? What am I talking about here, church? I suppose we get to decide too. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, of course, on that first Easter. But there are resurrection moments happening each and every day of our lives. And in this great world around us, resurrection is happening all around us, but we have a choice to make. Yes, God is responsible for resurrection, but we have a role to play in it too. We have a choice to make as well in the midst of what God is doing. Are you going to choose to stay in the tomb, or are you going to get up and walk out? Are you going to say, I've had it with this tomb, enough of this tomb of death and despair, enough of this tomb of racism and sexism and homophobia, enough of this tomb of violence and hate and oppression? God is working. But are you letting the tomb continue to hold you? Or are you going to get up and walk out? Resurrection is happening all around, and new life and hope is bursting forth all around us. That's good news. Good Friday showed us what people are capable of doing, and on Easter morning we see what God is capable of doing, but it took Jesus actually getting up and walking out for the resurrection to be known and noticed. And we have that choice too. Resurrection is happening all around us. Are we going to live as resurrection people? Are we going to get up? Are we going to walk out? Are we going to say the grave cannot hold us? For love overcomes hate. What are you going to do this day, church? Do you have your walking shoes on? Are you ready to go live as people of resurrection? Are you ready to cling to the hope of new life? For Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Amen.
God's people said, thank you, choir. That was inspiring. God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I have all kinds of cliches. At this time, we would normally point to the quilts hanging on the wall, but like the tomb is empty, so is the pole. But that doesn't mean that there are not people out there that need our prayers. So what I'd like to ask you to do is today pray for anyone that ever got a prayer quilt from us, because maybe they're beyond what their needs were, maybe they're still in the turmoil. Everybody can use a little extra prayer. So on your way out of the church, don't stop at the table, don't tie a knot, don't sign a card, but pray for everyone that has ever received a quilt. I know I got one, and I sure do love it, and I would appreciate all the prayers I can get. Now please join me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, we give you thanks for your love, your grace, and your power on this blessed resurrection morning. We thank you for the many friends and loved ones who have made the effort to gather with us today, whether it be in person or online. We pray for all our past quilt recipients that they found the comfort and strength as their quilts surrounded them with the love and prayers during their times of need, that they may still feel our prayers as they endure challenges that may still lay ahead. The women gathered their spices and traveled the road to the tomb to find it empty, and were told that Jesus had risen. Then they traveled the road to the disciples to tell them the good news. Today we choose our road, which leads to the good news and the hope of a better world by following Jesus Christ. Lord, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Lord, your resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as new people in pursuit of the Christian ideal. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to want to do it, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Today we celebrate and give thanks that in life, in death, in life after death, we belong to God. In times of doubt and fear, the disciples went to Jesus for strength and guidance. Help us remember that Jesus is there for us as well, leading us, guiding us, and helping us to make the right choices for us, as well as the right choices for our friends and neighbors. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you with our praises of you and our concerns on our hearts as we spend time in silent prayer and meditation. Lord, a new day has come, a new road to follow, and new hope for a better life and a better world by following the teachings of a risen Jesus Christ, who, when asked by the disciples, "How do we pray?" said, "Pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
You know, we keep saying hallelujah on Easter, and hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there is so much to give praise to God for. There's the mystery of resurrection and the gift of hope. And one of the ways, well, there's many ways to say that hallelujah. One way is by our presence here today. We're doing that. It's also by our service. It's by our witness. And it is indeed by giving of ourselves and our gifts. And so I invite the ushers to come forward as we give our hallelujahs to God.
Lord and Savior, as you live to serve, we live to serve you. Accept these offerings we bring today and use them to lift up your church, your community, and your world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Christ arose. Praise God. Often in the Christian tradition, we use the sign of butterflies to be a sign and a symbol of new life and beginning and resurrection and hope. And so a few months ago, Pastor John had this fun, creative idea that we're to do a butterfly release. So we're going to do that this morning. On the way out, I would invite you to pick up from the ushers a small little triangled papered packet. And inside is a butterfly that's come from its cocoon and is ready to be released. Now, not in the sanctuary. Our trustees would not approve. We're not turning it into a zoo, however fun that would be. But I would invite you to join me on the front lawn. Make your way out onto the front lawn, and we are going to gather and we will celebrate releasing the butterflies together. And we're going to take our time making our way out there so that Sunday school children can get upstairs and get one too and get out on the front lawn, and we're going to celebrate. It'll be fun. One per family. Jesus rose from the grave. The resurrection power and presence was done. And then he had to get up, get rid of those binding cloths, and walk out of that grave. Church, may the tomb of darkness and hate and sin and racism and exclusion and homophobia and sexism, may the tomb that tries to hold us not keep us. Get up and walk out. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.